Well, today is Martin Luther King Day, a day when we celebrate the legacy of the slain civil rights leader. And joining us this morning with a look at the history behind the holiday is Peter Drummy of the Massachusetts Historical Society. Mr. Drummy, good morning. Thank you so much for joining us.
Good morning, Dad.
So many people may not realize, or perhaps they don't think about it, but in fact, Dr. King did have some local ties.
Yes, he, as a young man, he graduated from Morehouse College when he was young and then went to Divinity School in Pennsylvania. But he came here in 1951 to study at the School of Theology at Boston University and received his doctorate in theology in 1955. So he spent about parts of 4 years here in Boston.
And how long did it take before Martin Luther King Day became an official holiday here?
It happened quickly here. We're one of the first states to adopt it. And by a vote of the legislature in 1973 and first celebrated in 1974 on January 15th. As a Massachusetts state holiday, it was celebrated on Dr. King's birthday and continued to be until it became a national holiday about 10 years later and was adopted and first celebrated in the 1980s and 1986.
And over the years, as the holiday has evolved, in some cases, it's actually become a day of service in many communities.
Yes, and that really goes back to the proclamation of Governor Sargent when it was declared a state holiday. This idea that Martin Luther King had devoted his life to not simply equality and dignity for all citizens, as it's phrased in it, but that people should rededicate themselves to his principles, to equal opportunity, to education, to employment, and in housing. So that idea of public service is, at least in spirit, embedded in the Massachusetts state law, and that's become much more clear in the last few years as a day of national service.
Now, at the time, Dr. King wasn't the only civil rights leader around. Of course, it was Medgar Evers and definitely Malcolm X. But he seems to have loomed larger than the others.
Yes, well, that happened really right in his lifetime. When he left Boston University, he took the pulpit of a church in Montgomery, Alabama, right at the time of the famous bus boycott around Rosa Parks. So he was already recognized, even as he was an ordained minister when he came here to Boston, was spoke from the pulpits of churches, Baptist churches principally, but all over the United States. So someone who was seen as an important figure from a very young age. But I think that one of the things that's really important to remember about him is that his while he was dedicated to equal rights and voting rights, he also was committed to nonviolent change. And that, I think, has made him a figure. He won the Nobel Peace Prize, again, as a very young man. And that had won him the perhaps a wider support and audience. Although he was a critic of the Vietnam War, he was a critic of not legal segregation necessarily, but segregation in the American North. So not a person without controversy in his own life, but someone who I think we can find much to celebrate in his life today.
All right, well, we're going to have to leave it there, but thank you so much for speaking with us. We do appreciate it.
It's my pleasure.